You are listening to the new voice of Conservative Talk Radio. Unafraid and aggressive, he will take on anyone, including Republicans. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also, follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready and visit him on the web at aaronmccready.com.
Welcome to the program, everyone. I am Aaron McCready, and you've caught us on a great day. We've got a great show coming up for you. So just a couple program notes real quick. Next week, we're not going to have a show until next Monday, but on Monday, we will be having former Secretary of State and current Senate candidate Karen Handel live on the air. That should be a good show. On Tuesday, we're going to have candidate for United States Congress, Delvis Dutton, will be on. And then on April 2nd, that is a Wednesday of next week, I'm sure you've heard of him. He's a former congressman from the state of Georgia, and now he is running for the United States House of Representatives again. We're going to have Bob Barr on coming up on the 2nd of April. That's all Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. Looking forward to those shows. But today, we've got a very, very serious show. And those of you that have listened to me before, that are loyal listeners to the show, know that I am very opinionated, and I talk a lot of politics, but this is one time that we need to put politics aside. I was contacted by a listener on Twitter. His name's Sebastian, and he'll be on in just a minute. And he really made me aware of the medical marijuana bill that was going through the State House and State Senate here in Georgia. Now, we're heard all over the world on blogtalkradio.com, but we have a very, very loyal and very large following in the state of Georgia. And I always read listeners' emails, and I always respond to their tweets, and this just really caught my attention. And this is really a matter of life and death for children. And that's not me trying to boost ratings. That's not me trying to make a big deal out of something. I can't make a big enough deal out of this than I am right now. There's not enough words for me to try to convey to everyone out there listening to the show the importance of this. And just to give you a quick background, and then we'll go to our phones. But the medical marijuana bill, and to me that's a little bit of a misnomer, because the bill that was going through the State House and State Senate here in Georgia, it was for cannabis oil. And if you're not familiar with this, cannabis oil is either in like an oil or a pill form, and it can really help prevent seizures, especially in children. And because it's derived from, you know, cannabis or the marijuana plant, it's derived from that, but you don't get the highs that you would if you were to go and, you know, smoke marijuana. It's not like that at all. And we've got some parents on the line. We've got a state senator on the line, and then soon, a little bit later on, we'll be joined by a state representative, Alan Peek, that was actually a sponsor of the bill. But in my opinion, it's just a horrible situation. It actually passed the House and Senate, and then because of, in my opinion, some political games, the bill really didn't go much further. And what happened, just the short of things real quick, is a state senator, Renee Unterman, she has been trying, and, you know, which I can't blame her for this, because she has, it's called Ava's Law, a bill that would require insurance companies to pay for treatment for autistic kids until they're six. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't blame her for that. But we'll get into this a little bit later on and what happened and how she tried to push this autism bill that actually killed the autism bill and also killed the bill that could really prevent these seizures in all the kids. But joining me right now on the phone is Senator Butch Miller from the great state of Georgia. Senator Miller, welcome to the program. Senator Miller?
I'm sorry. Hello, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? This is Aaron.
Oh,
can you hear me? You're live on air.
I got you now, Aaron.
Okay, welcome to the well, welcome to the program. And then also on the line, I have State Representative and the sponsor of House Bill 885, Representative Alan Peake. Representative Peake, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here with my colleague and friend, Butch Miller, as well, too.
Well, I appreciate you both. Go right ahead.
I have to also say Representative Peake is a true public servant, and I commend him for the work that he's done on this bill and others. And he has been a leader in the House of Representatives for many years, and I tip my hat to him.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for being on, and I know you both appreciate each other's comments. But Representative Peake, I want to start with you real quick. You were the sponsor of this bill, and it had all noble intentions and looked like it was going to sell straight through both the House and the Senate. And just give us a little bit of background on it first, though. I know that you met a little girl named Haley. Tell us a little bit how you met Haley.
Okay, I won't bore you with the whole story, but, you know, when we started this session, Butch and I can tell you, but he can tell you both, I don't think it was on anybody's radar screen that we wanted to take a look at medical marijuana during this session. I had a constituent who called me and said, hey, I wish you'd talk to this family, learn about their story. They're about to move to Colorado because their daughter has seizures, and there's been some new discovery that cannabidiol oil derived from the cannabis plant is having some real success in treating seizures. I met the family, then I met little Haley Cox, 4-year-old, cutest little angel. She reminded me looked just like my 3-year-old granddaughter, and it just really hit me that, you know what, if this was my child, if this was my granddaughter, I would be moving heaven and earth in order to obtain some type of medicine that would provide some relief and hope for her. And so that's kind of what set me on the mission is, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to try and see if we can legalize cannabidiol oil, the low in THC, very high in CBD form of the cannabis plant, and that's kind of what set me on the mission. I had no idea what I was getting into when I first approached many of my colleagues. They were like, no way, I don't want to touch this. I don't want to, you know, were very skeptical. But as they began to understand that it was an oil-based form that you could not get high off of, we weren't going to have 6-year-olds smoking pot, we weren't going to have pot shops all over the state, almost to the man or woman, they bought into that this is something good to do for our state.
Well, one question I have for you also, and in regards to this, is I think, you know, from the outside looking in, that the public wasn't really informed on this also, because they saw all the news broadcasts, medical marijuana, the medical marijuana bill, and to the average Georgia citizen that's uneducated, they thought it was, just like you said, you know, pot shops will be sprung up all over the place, and
right.
But that's not
right.
The case at all. It's actually, you know, truthfully for medical purposes, and there's no recreational use to this. You can't, like you said, you can't get high on it. It's just for medical purposes, right?
That's right. There really was an education, not just from my colleagues, but from a public standpoint. In fact, we had to actually call the TV stations who kept running stories because they'd run a story about it and have show, you know, B-roll or footage of somebody smoking a joint or whatever. And we started going, hey, guys, this is not even close to what we're doing here. All we're looking for is legalization of an oil-based form that's given to kids through a syringe in their mouth or intravenously and so you know there was an education but the encouraging thing was that as folks understood the issue, and in fact Butch could probably tell you he was in that same boat of going, hey, you know, first time we looked at it, I don't know about this, but boy, once you realize that this was something that was saving kids' lives or at a very minimum improving the quality of life for these kids, And we were forcing them to have to become medical refugees in Colorado by leaving our state, leaving their support system, leaving their churches, leaving their jobs, and moving out alone, sometimes splitting up families. And so the encouraging thing was that almost all of my colleagues to the person realized that this is something we need to address now and not put off to study committee to later, not wait, because if we wait too long, some of these kids may not live. And so we came very close, and Butch Miller worked like the devil to try and get it through the Senate, and we just came up a little short.
Well, Senator Miller, just to back up a little bit, how much education did your fellow senators need over there in the Senate to progress this bill forward? Did they think also that it was going to be pot shops popping up all over the place and not just the oil? Senator Miller?
I keep losing you. I apologize. As Representative Peek describes, there needed to be a total education on our House and for our House and Senate colleagues, for them to understand that this was an oil that would be taken like in a gel capsule, like an Advil gel capsule, or squirted into a young patient's mouth, or taken intravenously, and there was no recreational use for it whatsoever, and none of the mood altering highs that go along with smoking marijuana. Our whole chamber had to be educated upon that issue and how it was presented and how it was administered. Everyone needed an education on it. And as Representative Peek points out, it passed the Senate 53-0 and passed the House, I think, 176-4. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was overwhelmingly accepted and approved by our colleagues, and I think that education that also went along with our colleagues went along with the general public as well. I mean, I had people stopping me in church, and this one individual, he said, you're not for that medical marijuana, are you? And I said, well, actually, let me explain to you what it is. And after I gave him three or four sentences there, he said, oh, I didn't realize that. He said, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
That was the kind of the education process that everyone had to go through, and I think that we will get some relief for these families. I'm very disappointed that we didn't get the relief this past session, and I'm disappointed that the governor doesn't have a bill to sign right now. But I'm very optimistic that we'll get something done very, very soon, and as I mentioned earlier, the families who came to the Capitol and testified, and the families who came and spent their time and their resources visiting the Capitol, and Representative Peek and his colleagues and others within the Senate chamber, you know, really, they came a complete about face on this entire issue over a matter of about, what, now in 4 weeks?
Yeah, it happened that quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you both a question. And this actually, in my opinion, and, you know, you guys, you both were there, you know, behind the scenes working all this out. But from the reports that I can find and the research that I can do, it actually, the stoppage of this bill, which I think is totally unfair, I just want to go on record on saying that, but it was Senate Bill 397. And that was what I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that Renee Unterman originally proposed for the bill for autistic children and the insurances. That went through the Senate, but couldn't get through the House. But then, you know, to jump ahead a little bit to why this bill failed, is House Bill 885 passed the House and went into the Senate into committee. She attached some of that language from Senate Bill 397 to House Bill 885. It passed the Senate, but when it went back into the House couldn't pass it because it had that mandate for the insurances, and that would just hurt and just crush, as far as costs go, some small businesses in Georgia. Is that, Representative Peek, is that pretty accurate, or am I off base there?
No, it is, and you know, I tell you, I've really struggled since Thursday night of wanting to from an attitude of despair and frustration and disgust to anger to wanting to point fingers, and you know what, we can do that all day, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't get us anywhere. But the fact of the matter is, the medical cannabis bill was such a huge monumental issue that needed to stand alone on its own merit and be debated solely by itself, that when another bill got attached to it that did not have the overwhelming support in both chambers, and it was added on by Senator Renee Underman, it just completely derailed the process. Now, let me just be real clear. The autism bill, I actually co-sponsored in the House. And so support and opportunity for early detection of autism in children is an important thing and something that we ought to look at. In fact, this past year we added it to the state health benefit plan to make sure we see what kind of cost is involved in doing that. So let's just be real clear. That's a good effort and something our legislature ought to look at. But it's two totally separate issues. They should have never been attached to the same bill. They should have each been allowed to stand and pass on their own merit. And that's what derailed the process is when one senator alone said, you know, we're not passing anything in the Senate. They're not passing a medical cannabis bill unless it has the autism bill attached to it. And unfortunately, that just derailed the process and was quite frustrating. I know Senator Miller can probably tell you, I mean, most of his colleagues wanted to vote on the medical cannabis bill and had voted on it when it was attached with the autism bill and voted for it unanimously. So it was just frustrating. But at this point, I'm not sure it does a whole lot of good to point fingers.
Right. Well, Senator Miller, over on the Senate side, is this? I mean, how common is this for a bill that can't pass one body to get thrown in and put, you know, on another bill to try to sneak it in? I don't know if it was, you know, was it trying to be snuck in? Because it looked like that this House Bill 885 was just gung ho and going forward. And again, from an outsider looking in, it looks like it was trying to be snuck in and attached to that bill that looked like it was just sailing straight through, and then all of a sudden it hit a roadblock. And really, and you know, I'm a conservative, I'm a Republican, but it looks like that the Republicans just almost committed suicide on this bill because neither one got passed.
Well, it was very disappointing, and I don't know when I've had the wind taken out of my sails as much as I did this past week, this past Thursday, because we had two great bills that, in my view, needed to pass, autism and medical marijuana or cannabinoid oil, with however you want to term it. And there were a couple of other bills that were, one was foster care that I was just sorely disappointed that we didn't get a bill to the governor's desk, and that's what it's all about in this business of politics. And I'm afraid that in the final analysis, that yes, politics got in the way of policy, and we should be voting on, and we should be serving and working toward policy, not politics. And as Representative Peake points out, yeah, it's probably not very productive to point fingers and to try to assail blame and that sort of thing at this point. What
right.
We need to do is fit up the pieces and see how we can recover and see how we can move forward. Now, that having been said, yeah, I will reiterate again how disappointed I was that that neither bill passed. You know, I don't recall the autism vote in the House. But I know the autism vote in the Senate passed strongly. And the autism vote was very important, you know, to those parents and to those children and to those families. And I regret terribly that we didn't pass the medical marijuana bill, or either bill for that matter.
Right. Well, I just want to say, too, in Renee Unterman's defense, I did invite her on the program and sent her three emails, and I'm sure that I would like to believe that, and I know that both of you have had a ton of emails come in, so I would like to think that my email to her just got kind of buried underneath, and but she was invited on the show.
Are you telling me I was second fiddle? I was second choice?
No, I emailed y'all at the same time.
I'm kidding. I tell you, Aaron, the frustrating thing about this, and probably Senator Miller too, the same thing. You know, what happened after the fact is that it got autism versus medical cannabis, and that's the worst thing that could have ever happened. Listen, you know, Butch is right. I mean, listen, we probably need to be doing something for early intervention for autism, and we are doing something. We added the Safe Health Benefit Plan. We put $500,000 in for additional research in the budget this past year. There's money dedicated for funds for the Marcus Foundation that helps families with autism. So I mean, there is a but yes, we need to be doing more. But boy, the last thing we need is be having parents of autistic children be fighting parents of children with seizure disorders. I mean, that really, this thing does not need to go down that path at all. This is not one is better than the other. You know, and so that was my whole point all along is, hey, let's keep the bills separate. Let's keep these issues separate. Let them each stand on their own merit, and let legislators vote on each of the bills individually. And that's where it went off the railroad track. So,
yeah, and Alan makes a great point. And each bill should stand on its own and should stand on its own merit. And it shouldn't be if you take one, you got to take another. And whether it's in business or in life or in politics, we should be working for the greater good, and that's really the case.
Well, Representative,
I'll tell you. Yep.
Well, Representative Peake, you also it just didn't stop there. You also tried. You attached it to Senate Bill 291 with an hour and a half left of the term, what happened over on the Senate side? Because from my understanding, you know, there were parents there that just wanted to get passed, and the Senate didn't even bring 291 up for a vote.
Well, what happened is at the last minute, we tried to find a bill that wasn't going anywhere, that was kind of dead, and so we took a Senate bill that was in the House chamber that wasn't going to get a vote on. We stripped it clean and put just the medical cannabis language on it, put it to a vote to the House again. It passed 168-2, I believe, and then sent it over to the Senate about 10:30 Thursday night, knowing that we were done with session at midnight that night. And then I went begging. Butch saw me over there. I was begging the governor. I was begging Senator Underman, you know, asking them, please, let's at least pass a bill that will help hundreds, maybe thousands of families in Georgia tonight, right now. You got the chance to do it, and unfortunately, for whatever reason, they chose to not allow that vote, which is really frustrating. And quite frankly, the end of the session is kind of a jubilant time where we're all glad to be done. But I tell you, I couldn't stay in the chambers. I actually went up in the Senate chambers and was with the families at midnight when we finished, hoping that some miracle would happen where it would be called up for a vote, and it didn't. And boy, you know, it was as frustrating a time for me in my years in politics, and one of the most low points of my life, actually, you know, other than losing a child or a parent or a friend. But I mean, it was because these families had worked so hard. They had given of their life, their energy, their time, devoted hours upon hours of sharing with legislators their story of their children and how this cannabidiol could help them and make such a difference in their life. And so many legislators' hearts had been changed by that. And so then to see all that come crushing down because there could not be a vote called in the last hour was just really a punch to the gut. But the good news is, you know, the families have kind of rallied from that. We've all read, Butch has too, you know, we've kind of said, okay, and then we got great news from the governor on Monday when he said, you know what, this is important enough, I'm going to find a way to address this by executive order. And so there's been a newfound determination of, hey, a newfound hope that the governor can come up with something and a new determination to help in whatever way to find a solution.
Well, what was the governor and even the lieutenant governor's response when you know, representatives and senators were going begging for somebody to bring it up for a vote in the Senate?
Well, the response I got was, we've told you if you didn't have the autism bill on it, we're not voting for it. And again, that was the frustrating part, was, okay, you know, we should have been taking them each on their own merit. And but again, you know, we can sit here and point fingers, and it really doesn't do any good except
right.
make everybody mad at each other. The good news is we can focus now on hopefully helping the governor in any way find a solution. He's got a smart team of lawyers. He's got a smart team of advisors. And so I'm confident that they're going to come up with a solution that will provide some immediate opportunity and hope and relief for these families.
Now,
and even today, speaking with the families was just overwhelming today when you speak to these families, and they've got a renewed spirit and they've got a renewed hope, and they're determined and they're really, again, looking for the greater good. And you know, they have every right to be angry. And they, you know, not a single one of them to a person expressed anger. They expressed determination, and they expressed optimism, and they expressed love for their children and for helping others. And that was just so refreshing, because as Representative Peek was saying, that at midnight, usually at midnight, it's kind of like, my wife once told me, she said, I can understand why you enjoy serving in the Senate so much, because it's like you're on a team together and you're trying to accomplish something together, and you're all working together. And then at midnight, when you think the game's over and you want to really celebrate, it was a hollow victory. I mean, it was hollow. That's just all there is to it.
Right. Well, I do have some callers on the line. I've got Corey Lowe on the line. And I don't know if you all know about, you know, met Corey. Victoria.
Oh, yeah, we know Corey,
you know,
well.
well, for the listeners that don't know Corey, she's the daughter of Victoria. She's 12, and she has mitochondrial disease. I probably botched that word up, but she has dozens, sometimes hundreds of seizures a day. She's been one of the main coordinators at the Capitol, and Corey, you were there almost every day. Am I correct?
You are correct. If not every day, then every other day.
Well, tell me about the experience you had there, because I understand, too, that you took your daughter a few times, and she actually had a seizure there, and Representative Parson helped her out quite a bit. But just tell me kind of your experience there under the Gold Dome with the legislators.
To be honest with you, when I first initially began this, had no idea what to expect, didn't know how to really approach them. And as I continued going down there every other day or every week or every day if possible, it was just mutual understanding that they were seeing our side, the human side of our story, and we were seeing the human side of them, that they're not this big, mean politician to be afraid of that's unapproachable. They were greeting us with hugs, praying with us by the end of it, and one representative even sent a message to the mom after midnight and just profusely just apologized over what happened. And it was just a neat experience I'm just very fortunate to be a part of, and I'd like to take it and share it with other people, that if you have something that's, you know, dear to your heart, an issue, that you can talk to these guys, you can go and make an appointment, and they will welcome you with open arms. And and I'm very thankful for the experience, but now we're taking our fight up to Washington, so we'll need their support then as well.
Well, you are very dedicated to this. From my understanding, you work at night, and then you would also go straight from work, straight to the Capitol without any sleep. That's how, you know, dedicated you were to this cause and to your daughter. That is just beyond belief. And, you know, I applaud you for that.
Well, let me brag about Corey Lowe for a minute, because I'm telling you, we love some Corey Lowe, and she is it's true. She would show up at the Capitol after having working all night. You could see her red eyes, but she was going to be there, and she was going to talk to those legislators, and she was going to tell them their story. And you know, that's the real beauty of this thing. There was some real frustration Thursday night and a real sense of defeat. But I'm telling you that the real victory in this whole thing is that we shared the stories, the family shared the stories, and changed hearts and minds of legislators who were totally against this 10 weeks ago. And this entire effort can be attributed to these families, Corey Lowe, Sebastian Cuddy, Shannon and Blaine Cloud. I'm gonna miss somebody. Christy Baggerly, Janaea Cox, so many families who were there every day, taking time and energy to chat with legislators, and I'm telling you, this they became known as the mommy lobby, you had to be there to experience it, to see it. It was, and I couldn't be prouder of Corey Lowe and all her team.
Well, you know, you mentioned this, Representative Peek, and it's like you knew that they were on the line or something. But this is a segue. Sebastian Cott on the phone and Janaea Cox on the line as well. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Janaea, tell us your story. The bill is actually named after your daughter, and how is she doing? Because I understood that you moved to Colorado back on March 13th. How is she doing now?
She's doing so much better. She started the oil about a week and a half ago, and her seizure has gone down from 200 plus to, I guess, at the most 10 a day right now. So she's more alert, and when I look at her, she smiles at me when I smile at her. So it's been an amazing ride, and to listen to the story of what happened at the Capitol, it's really emotional. It's hard to listen to because we sat and fought for so long and watched it die with 2 hours left in the session. So it's hard to listen to that and relive it, because I sat here in my living room holding my daughter, watching them bicker over something, and it was heartbreaking to watch it.
Well, do you have renewed hope now? Because it's Governor Deal is looking at seeing what he can do from the executive side, see if he can do an executive order. What is your hope with that? Because I know that you know, you being in Colorado and your husband is still here in Georgia, if I'm correct, I'm sure that you would love to, you know, have your family back in Georgia.
Yes, it's hard to talk to my husband sometimes on the phone and tell him all the good things that's going on with Haley, because I just hear the heartbreak in him when he's not here to see it. So it's hard to really talk to him right now because he can't see all the changes with his daughter. He's 1,700 miles away, and I want him to be able to see her smile at him. And I think I put Lady Gaga on for her in the car today, and she sort of danced to it. So it was great to see that, and I just want my husband to see it. And so I pray that Nathan Deal does get an executive order so we can come home. I miss my family, I miss my friends, and I miss my support system.
Right. Well, Sebastian, welcome to the program. You actually brought this to my attention. You started tweeting me on Twitter, and then we started passing emails back and forth. And, you know, you really, to be honest with you, I knew about this bill, but it really didn't hit home to me until I read some of the emails that you sent me. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, well, thank you for having us, first of all, on the program. And, I guess it's the power of social media, right, and just Twitter and Facebook. And on that note, just very quick, the entire group, the way we first got organized was all on Facebook. So it's kind of an amazing story, too, probably another story for a different day. But it's an amazing story how we all came together on Facebook and started talking on Facebook, then meeting at the dorm every day or every other day, and then becoming, you know, started with a few parents and just became a huge group, and, you know, just very ready to share our story. But, yeah, my story is just, you know, I have a little boy, he's three. His name is Jagger, and he has a terminal form of mitochondrial disorder called Leigh disease. So he's on hospice care right now. So, you know, his time is very limited. And this bill, one way or another, was honestly not going to save his life just because, you know, he doesn't have that much time. But he was going to, hopefully, if we could have got the oil, get his life a little bit better for how much time he had left. But some kids, like Haley, for example, or Victoria, that could change their entire life, and that can make the difference between them having one of those mega seizures and dying from the seizure to living. So that's why it was very important for us, for all the parents who are fighting so hard. You know, one thing I really want to say is to Senator Buchmiller, thank you so much. On Thursday night, we were at the rope, and you came out to see us 3-4 times, and you went back every time. You tried to get that vote for us on the 291, and you kept us informed of what's going on, so we really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And Representative Peake, I don't even have the words. I mean, what you did is just it's amazing. Just, you know, taking this little cause, this little project we had, and just making it into something that came an hour and a half away from, you know, making history in Georgia, that's just amazing. So thank you so much for all you did. We can never thank you enough. And
well, one question I have, you know, for Representative Peake and Senator Miller is, I know that, you know, probably when you first entered politics and started running for your office, that you did it to so that you would be able to help people. But did you imagine then the impact that how you would be helping people now? Just hearing these stories and the both of you, I mean, would you have ever dreamt that it would have ever came to this and you would have been at the forefront of this and really trying to protect people's lives?
Well, I'll take a crack at that one first, and then I'll turn it over to Senator Miller. I'd have never guessed I'd have been involved in any legislation involving medical marijuana at all. But let me tell you, being involved with these families, with the three that are on this phone call, and multitudes of others through social media and through getting to meet them, it gets emotional, has been one of the highlights of my life. Forget highlight of my political life, the highlight of my life, for them to allow me to be on the journey that the challenge that they face on a day-to-day basis of raising a special needs child, and then seeing an opportunity that could bring them hope and bring them maybe some relief from these daily seizures that are affecting their children. It's hard to put it in words. It's such a cliche, but it really is. It's been an honor for me to be part of the journey with them and to stay on this road with them. And I get energized every day by seeing comments they make on, you know, Twitter or Facebook, and they encourage me more than I encourage them. And so anyway, it's been a blessing just to be involved in their lives.
Alan, I couldn't top what Alan said. It's just it's incredibly humbling to be in a position to try to help these families. And my wife Teresa and I have three sons, the eldest of which would be 27 this year. Two of those sons have mitochondrial disorders, and we understand. We have great empathy for what these families are going through, and I feel like the system in general has failed these families at this time, but we live to fight another day, and I know that Alan won't quit fighting, and I know that I won't quit fighting until we have until the system provides for these families the care and the attention and the and the advantages that they need. And so I pledge to these families that I will continue to fight for them and for others who cannot or are not in a position to take on those fights. But these families have given everyone, every single person that I have spoken to, they've given them incredible encouragement, incredible courage, and they've shared their determination, and that is going to make a difference, I promise you.
Well, Corey Lowe, I know that you have to be getting off here soon to like we mentioned earlier, you work at night to go to work. Is there anything that you have to add to this conversation that you want the public to know? Because, like I said, we are heard all over the world, but really have a strong, strong following in Georgia. Is there anything that you'd like to say to either Representative Peek, Senator Miller, or just the public in general?
Yes, sir, please. I thought I was done crying after Thursday and Friday. I pretty much cried until I can't cry anymore, and I didn't think that was possible, but it sure was. And these two guys, just, again, making me cry. I'm just incredibly grateful for them. Me and Victoria, just her two people who represent hundreds, if not thousands, of families all over Georgia. So it's not just our fight or Sebastian and Jagger or Haley and Janae. There's, you know, families from all over South Georgia, all over, contacting us saying thank you and thank you. And I know they can't get to the Capitol like we made it, try to make it at least every day up there, if not every other day, just to get the message across. And the representatives and senators, they all took the time to listen to our stories, and we're just so thankful. And our next step, like I mentioned before, we're joining forces with Alabama and South Carolina and Tennessee, and Kentucky's going to get on board. And we've got people from the West Coast contacting us today and said, how can we be a part of that? We're putting together basically the Southeast Coalition to take it to Washington and see if they can reschedule it so that we can it'll make it a lot easier for the states to pass, you know, legislation. For it'll open it up for studies, not just for seizures. We're just a small percentage of people that this can help, and unfortunately, it we might be a small percentage, but it's life or death for our children, and that's why we're so passionate for it, because it's just Sebastian's son's on hospice, and Haley was in the ICU for almost 2 months, and we have to fight for these kids because no one else can. We're their voices. And so anyway, I just thank them endlessly for their support and their time and dedication and their effort. And Representative Peek is the most humble man I've ever met in my life. he won't take all the credit. He always gives it out to his colleagues. And so to Representative Peek, his assistant Candace, and all of his colleagues and just the people who didn't sleep at night and stayed up working or missed lunch or just worked, you know, tirelessly on this effort to help for our children who were strangers to them, who they have no ties, no family, it was just amazing to see just the support from these guys.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on, and, if there is anything that I can ever do, I feel like I came in on the tail end of this, and if I would have really known, and shame on me, because if I've really known and got to take a closer look at this bill and really seen how it affects families, like I've seen and heard, and once this was brought to my attention, I was looking up news reports and seeing people interviewed but if there's anything that I can ever do for any of you, please, by all means, let me know. Whether it's using this show or just going down to the Gold Dome or going up to Washington, D.C. and help lobbying, you know, this cause, because it is a worthy cause. And I am wholeheartedly behind each and every one of you. All day today I was actually dreading doing this show because what it was about, but I didn't know how I would react, and I can honestly say that I am so glad that I got to hear, you know, what went on behind the scenes, and then, you know, all of your stories. And but if there's anything I can ever do, please let me know.
Well, I would encourage you to all your viewers, anybody that's listening, There's kind of a couple of steps that we're working on right now, and Corey touched one of them. Is the biggest thing is we need to lobby Congress to relax restrictions and regulations on transportation of cannabidiol oil across state lines. There is a Corey, you may can help me out if I point to the right spot. You can go to my Facebook page, but there's a link that you can go to for a petition to do that, to encourage Congress to take marijuana from a schedule, take it out of a Schedule I drug. So there are things that you can do, and I appreciate that offer. And I hope you'll encourage your viewers to. They can go to my Facebook page, AlanPeake.com. They can go to or AlanPeake.com. Or Corey, what's the name of the Facebook page that you started?
I support House V885.
Right, got it. Okay, yeah, I support it. Yeah, and so there are some things they can do there. So thank you for that offer.
Well, I appreciate it. One thing too that I'll just say, and I'll tell you what, I have a new set of questions for next week for my guest next week. It's going to be Karen Handel, Delvis Dutton, and Bob Barr is going to be on, and I am really going to ask them some questions about this and try to get them to commit to carry this, you know, if they get elected and go to Congress, so that, you know, all the families in Georgia and really nationwide that deal with this, that they'll have an ally in Congress. And I'm going to put their feet to the fire and see if they will commit to this.
Good.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for having us on.
Well,
yes,
I appreciate
sir.
It. Well, Janaea, is there anything that you'd like to add in before we leave?
For all the people that don't think this medicine works, I've seen it firsthand work, and it's only been a week and a half. So, like Keith said, it's oil that you drop under their tongue, or Haley can't eat anything by mouth, so it goes through her G button. And she gets it three times a day, and a doctor does the dosing, so it's not just some Joe Blow off the street that does the dosing for you. A doctor watches over it all and makes sure that you're doing the right thing, make sure that blood levels are right. So it's very tightly restricted here also. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure everybody knows how tightly restricted it is and how much a doctor follows you. We have a doctor calling every week, and we have to bring her up to be seen. So I just want to make sure everybody knows that it's not a dispensary that's doing the dosing. It's a doctor.
Right.
And Haley almost died, 10 times while in the ICU. Mm. So to see that, and then now today to see her smiling and almost laughing, it's amazing. So I have to thank Alan Peake for that. I mean, you started this, and you have helped so many families. And I just don't know what we would have done without you. And I recently just met Senator Miller, and he was so humble and so nice. And I know all the parents there on the last day of the session had nothing but good things to say. So without y'all, we wouldn't have made it far. So I have to thank you guys so much for that and for giving my child a second chance at life.
Wow. Sebastian?
We want to give Haley hope. That's what we're looking to do.
Right.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
Sebastian, you have anything before we close out?
No, I mean, thanks for having us, for letting us share the stories. And, you know, it was very disappointing. I mean, we were there in the gallery, like Representative Peake said. He was there with us. That's also to show you what kind of person he is. He was there with us, hugging and trying to make the parents that were crying feel better when midnight, you know, hit on Thursday, and we know that was not going to happen. He wasn't, you know, throwing paper in the air or anything. He was with us, with the families in the Senate gallery. So that just tells you a lot right there, for one. And the other thing is, you know, I always try to – our situation with Jagger is, you know, it's a day-to-day situation. I know that sounds very cliche, but it's true. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And so we always try to see if we can find a silver lining in any situation. And we didn't pass the bill. We don't have the oil in Georgia. But I met some absolutely amazing people. I already knew Corey from before, but Haley – and our family, and, you know, Sarah, Christy, Shannon. I mean, I can name them all because I'm going to forget some. Kim, you know, and those people just became like a part of a family now. We have this big family, this big support system we didn't have 2 months ago. So if you want to look at something positive from this kind of negative experience at the end of the day, it's when we made some amazing friends, people that go through the same thing we go through every day and that can understand our struggle and our joy. And, you know, like Janaya say, for a lot of people, they don't understand just how one little smile from Haley is something that will make somebody burst in tears. Because when your kid doesn't smile for years, just one smile, we can't even describe it. You know, the same thing happened with Jagger. I mean, when he does something that he never done for years before, it's such a joyous moment. It's so hard to explain. And all those family, they understand, they've been there, and it's great when we can share this with them. And again, you know, we didn't pass a bill, but we made friends for life, and we're very, very motivated. And I think we touched the heart of many people. And, you know, I'm hoping that next year this is going to pass, and, you know, I'm hoping Representative Peake can do something about this, but get it passed right away. Let's not wait till midnight on the last day. But that was just, I don't think my heart can take it one more year. So, I mean,
no pressure.
I don't have any heart issue, but I don't think I can do this twice. You know, let's start in the first week or for the second week of the session, and then just, you know, let's try to do it a little bit faster. We are more organized. People know about it. We won't have to do so much education this time. And I just hope it can be a little bit faster so we're not, you know, just be on the last day at midnight. Thanks for having us, Aaron.
Well, I appreciate it.
The good news is that there is going to be a study committee over the next year, a joint study committee between the House and the Senate, that hopefully will do exactly that, that by the time we come back next January, assuming we're all reelected, that we'll have something on day one, hopefully a proposal. My goal would be on day one have a bill that's already kind of agreed to by everybody, the governor on board, that sets up an infrastructure that'll move quickly through the session. So we don't have the heartache that we're looking at the last day.
That'd be great.
Well, I really appreciate all of your time, and Representative Peake, Senator Miller, thank you so much for coming on. And usually I have a whole nother hour of the show to go, and you know, I was going to talk about Obamacare and the disaster that is, but I mean, after this, I mean, nothing can even compare. So, you know, after this hour is over, we're just going to leave it at that and then maybe play a rerun or something. I don't know, but thank you all for coming on. And I am going to close out the show, though. If it's okay with you, Representative Peake, you posted a video on YouTube, and it talks about some of the families. And I've got the audio of that that video. And as we close out the show, it's about seven and a half minutes long. With your permission, I would love to play that as we end the show tonight.
I would be honored to, and thank you for doing it. Thank you for doing this tonight, Aaron. We really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate all of you all, and again, if there's anything I can ever do, please, you guys all know how to reach me, and and I will be down there with you for sure next year under the Gold Dome, make sure we can get this taken care of.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, and as I promised,
thank you.
Well, thank you. And here is the audio of the video that Representative Peake posted to YouTube as we close out the show today.
This is Elena. She's 8 years old, and she has Dravet syndrome, which is a rare form of epilepsy. Her first seizure was when she was 4 months old. She had several more seizures after that were also prolonged, which now we know is characteristic of Dravet syndrome. Her seizures often required heavy-duty medications in order to get the seizures to stop. She has trouble eating. She has trouble sleeping. We have behavior issues. We have learning and cognition issues. They definitely impact her speech. There's times when it seems like she's trying to get the words out, and because of the medications, she's just kind of in a fog, and she's not really able to communicate the way that she would like to.
Yeah, so there have been a lot of documentaries in the past few months, some from CNN, some from others, about stories of children in other states where medical marijuana is legal. And those children have been taking a high CBD, low THC form of medical cannabis, and they have been seeing some miraculous results. There's several children that have had hundreds of seizures a week that basically the first time they took the medicine went down to one seizure a week. I mean, that's just is a huge, huge difference, and it is an immediate impact that this medicine is giving hundreds of children at this point.
She's been on medication since 5 months old. So, you know, her personality changes and comes and goes with the different medications that we've tried. So we hope that one day we can have her on something that's more natural and not have to be on so many medications with all these horrible side effects, so that maybe we can find out who our little girl really is.
I'm Ross Nicholas. I'm Henry's father. Henry's our oldest child. He's 6 years old, and he has a form of genetic epilepsy. It's intractable and drug resistant. Henry had his first seizure when he was 3 months old. And from the time he was 3 months to 2 years, we spent a lot of time in hospitals with doctors trying to find different medications and different options to cure him and treat him. With Henry, we're always seeking to find a new option, a new path for him. Some of the drugs that we've tried have liver damage, damage to his internal organs. Other ones make him hyper. Some make him lethargic, and so he cannot move around. And so when we learned about medical cannabis and the opportunity that it presents us, it's another option for our children as we're trying to give them a better quality of life and relieve them of their suffering. So we're very excited about it, and we look forward to the opportunity to continue to fight for it and the opportunity to bring medicine like this to Georgia.
My name is Jonathan. I'm here today to talk to you about my son, Kason. Kason was born October the 16th, 2013. He started having neonatal epileptic seizures about 3 hours after birth. He was placed in the NICU at Wellstar Cobb, where he spent 3 days prior to being transferred here to where we're at right now, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta at Scottish Rite, where he spent 21 additional days. Kason was diagnosed with a rare terminal form of epilepsy called Ottohara syndrome. So far, Kason has been through 6 anti-epileptic drugs. None of the drugs have worked. Kason still has between 5 to 15, sometimes more, tonic seizures a day. These are seizures which last from 20 seconds up to 2 minutes. Statistically, what we know is that if an individual is not controlled on 2 anti-epileptic drugs, the chances they will ever find an epileptic drug to stop their seizures are pretty much slim to none. So we're looking at other options that were presented by medicinal cannabis. And what we discovered there was that most of these children have an 80% seizure reduction. Many of them are showing improved cognitive skills. So it's hope in an area where right now there is no hope. Right now, we are looking at a condition where the expected lifespan of my son Kason is 2 to 3 years. And that is the reality of the situation.
I'm Janaea Cox. My daughter is Haley Cox. We're at Eggleston right now. She's battling for her life in the PICU. She's got Lennox-Gastaut syndrome, which is seizures that can't be controlled with medicine. She's on 4 different types of medicine, and she's maxed out on every single one. She's quit breathing 3 times today, and we're battling to get medical marijuana here in Georgia to get her off of these seizure medicines that are shutting her down so much. I hardly see her eyes. She used to sit on her own. She used to laugh. She used to smile, and she used to cry. I haven't seen that in almost 2 years. So we're fighting to get her off the meds that are debilitating her. Me as a parent wants medical marijuana here because this is a life-saving treatment. It's either save her life or, in essence, let her die here in Georgia. So we have decided if the bill does not pass this year, we will have to move to Colorado. And when I say move to Colorado, it would just be me and Haley. We'd have to leave my husband here because he can't transfer jobs, so we are breaking our family up for this life-saving treatment, and I don't understand why we can't get it in Georgia. I've talked to many families out in Colorado that can get this medicine, and they put their child on it. They go from 300-plus seizures a day to 1 a month or 1 a week. Haley has 100-plus seizures a day. So if I could get that down to one a month or one a week, I would gladly move to Colorado. My plea to lawmakers right now in the state of Georgia is to please realize that we are trying to save children in Georgia. These are people's children. Put your heart into this and realize that these kids need it, or they could die from this horrible disease. Please don't let my child die because she can't get a medicine that children can get somewhere in a different state. I need you to pass this law for my daughter to be able to live. So if you would please, please look it down in your heart and just take the politics out. Put your child in my place and think about what would you do.
Well, again, before we close it out right here, I would like to thank Sebastian for bringing this to my attention. Victoria, Janaea, Representative Peek, and Senator Miller, I really appreciate all of your work. And again, if there's anything I can do to help, please let me know. You've been listening to The Aaron McCready Show.